All right, we ready, Shell?
First century now.
Good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this, the 8th of January, 2013, and ask if everybody would join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for the public to address the board on topics that are on today's agenda. So if there's any items that anybody would like to address, seeing no one immediately move into the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of the minutes from our organizational meeting.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Next item is consideration of personnel actions. We have all items listed.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next item, consent agenda. Please add utility permit number 1341. Other than that, we have all items.
From consent agenda with no change.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Roll call vote.
Thank you, Wayne. Keep me straight. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Public hearing items. None for today. Additional items. Consideration of Resolution 1344. Contract between Iowa Department of Transportation and the Story County Board of Supervisors for installation of fiber optics. Barb, that's you.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
Good.
I like your haircut.
Thank you. My husband still hasn't noticed, so.
Oh, man. I'd maybe agree.
Give me his phone number. I'm going to give him a heads up.
Oh, man.
What the DOT contract is, this is part of the ICN BTOP project, and the DOT has a project going where they're installing traffic cameras up 35 and along 30. And they've teamed with the ICN to combine resources. The ICN's purpose in the whole fiber is to connect all the hospitals. So they've got 72 strands of fiber in this run that they're creating, and they've offered Story County to pair. For us to, at a cost of $15,000 for the fiber and none of the trenching. So for us, this is a huge windfall. If we were to go on to a project like this on our own, it'd be $250,000, $300,000. The benefit to Story County is this would now create a fiber loop for us with our Ames offices and a backup solution. So originally, when I came here, I thought, well, this would be a good future project. We do have to jump on it now because the window is only until they get the trenching done, and then we lose our rights to that fiber. But also, with the new mobile laptops that the Sheriff's Department is using, it's really put a strain on our current network, and we've seen some slowness. And so we feel that this project will be coming along sooner rather than later. So we do need to take advantage of this opportunity that they've allowed us to participate in this project. So the contract is a typical DOT contract for 20 years and renewable upon written request.
You and Jessica have kind of worked that over a little bit.
We've had gone back several times. The wording was very brief at first, and we've added some detail, and we think it protects Story County as far as access, because in exchange they do want the right to access fiber of ours that we're not using coming out of City Hall and the DHS office. So,
Fiber Futuristic, has there been any discussion about it? With this in place now, you know, counties have been hoping that the legislature would allow the use of connecting to the ICN. Currently right now, counties, we're not able to basically do that, but like Story County Medical Center would be able to probably do that. And I know Iowa State has several there. But would this probably make that transition much smoother for us in terms of our connectivity if we would ever have that?
This would not give us access to the ICN network, no.
I know it wouldn't.
It's totally separate.
In terms of the ability to be part of that network system, I would assume that would go over the fiber instead of the old T1 lines. You know, originally when the ICNs went in, I believe they were a part of most of the T1
lines. Right, yes. The ICNs project connects all the hospitals. So it would connect VetMed and Ames to the Story County, or in Nevada, that hospital. So that would not create in itself a loop for us. We'd still have to do our trenching from the hospital to the Justice Center, which I have included funds for that in my budget for this year.
All right.
Or for next year, sorry.
It sounds to me like a great opportunity for us to fill a need. My question is, where is the $15,000 going to come from? How is your budget looking for this fiscal year? Is that something you're going to be able to absorb, or are we going to have to go find money elsewhere?
I've come up with cost savings of about $10,000, still working on it, so I can absorb most of it.
Okay.
It was unanticipated. Originally, when I started attending these meetings, they had thought maybe this would be a budget 2014 item. The ICN, of course, operates on a monthly basis, where the DOT operates on, you know, annual budget. So the ICN is finding that it is in need of those funds a little sooner, even though we are doing this through officially the DOT.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I would move consideration of Resolution 1344 as presented.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion.
One of the obviously the opportunity right now seems to be advantageous to us in terms of long range, and if you've got at least $10,000, it's much easier if we have to find five somewhere than to foot the full amount. But I think when you look at the future cost of this, it still would have been something that I think we should take advantage of at this point in time. So. That's my primary reason of wanting to make sure that we position ourselves and for the future, because you've already indicated the potential glitches that we're having with bandwidth now as a result of the new sheriff's laptop. So I think this will alleviate that. So,
and I will point out that they have offered the university and the city of Ames the same deal. They are also getting fiber. So. I think it's very generous on the part of the ICN, so it would be, I think it would be great for us to take advantage of this.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Barb, the only thing I'll ask is, I appreciate that you found 10. If you wouldn't mind, as we have your budget conversation for 13-14, let's make sure that we're looking at any items that we can shift from this year or potentially shift from this year to next year to try to get this paid for, since we know we're paying this 15 this year now.
Sure.
Okay?
We'll do.
Thank you. Next item is, as you guys will remember, we pulled several appointments in our organizational meeting and asked Jessica to take a look at the way we're doing our boards and commissions, and so now you see them back before us. Jessica, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Well, I've appreciated the opportunity to research this issue for the board. I will let the board know that I have reached out to the DHS office on the status of women who oversees the new law that was recently implemented for counties that we're going to be talking about today. And the head of that office, Michelle Rubin, wanted me to express her office's appreciation to this board for the questions that you're asking and making sure that you're complying with this new law that was just put into place. So I wanted to pass that along before I began my presentation. Iowa Code 69.16A requires that gender-balanced boards and commissions occur. This is new to cities and counties. This law has been in effect on a statewide basis, but is just recently applied to cities and counties. So we're adjusting to a new law as a county at this point in time. The law requires a fair and unbiased method of selecting the best qualified applicants, with that caveat that they be gender balanced. And Story County has a positive objective process in place at this time. We have a application on our website that's available that people can fill out at any time and turn in at any time for any of our boards and commissions. We're ahead of other municipalities in this regard, and I think that is a very good way to approach that unbiased requirement in the code. And Michelle Rubin, the program planner that I just discussed, agrees with that assessment. So we have that part covered. We need to address the unequal number of males and females on certain boards and commissions in the county. Now, per the code, an unequal number of males and females is allowed on county boards and commissions if a good faith effort has been made for a period of 3 months to appoint, in this case, an equal number of females, because that's who we're lacking, to the boards and commissions. The first board and commission I wanted to address is one that's not on the agenda, but I just wanted to bring it to everyone's attention. We have an open planning and zoning commission spot that's been advertised for. We need to fill that vacant position with a female because the current count is 4 males and 2 females on a 7-member board. So that vacancy, we'll need to reach out and make a good faith effort to appoint a female. If we can get a qualified female applicant, that appointment can be made as soon as the ad requires that the position be filled. And if not, then we're going to have to wait our time frame and reach out to other female applicants. To address the items that are on the agenda, I'd like to start with 8.2. Absolutely. Please interrupt me, by the way, because I get windy. So
the term qualified, what do they call? How do they define qualified? Because to me, that's subjective again. That puts cities and counties, whoever is ultimately making that decision, to look at the background of the individuals, their interests, what they might be able to bring to the board or commission in making that determination. And so, I'm just kind of curious in terms of when I hear you say good faith and then the 3-month period, but then the question of qualifications.
Absolutely. It's an excellent question, Wayne. The qualified portion of the code, we'd obviously look at the things that are addressed in our application, such as education, experience. Those are things that the board would want to take into account when they're assessing the qualification of applicants. I will tell you that in my research on that issue, the state is looking for us to look at qualification in a broad way. So we'd look at experience and education, but we'd look at common sense and real-world experience as well when we're assessing that. But certainly we want to make sure that the person we're selecting is qualified, and that's in the code. So first I'm going to start with the Condemnation Commission, which is in the agenda at number 8.2. My recommendation regarding the Condemnation Commission is that we advertise for more female applicants to fill the commission. At this point, we have a gender inequity on that commission. I would recommend that we select a date certain that those applications be submitted to the county, and that we try and remedy that gender disparity that we currently have on the commission. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to, at this point, say things aren't due for 90 days. I'd recommend that we do a shorter time frame and that we specifically target at this point, female applicants. One thing I've discussed with the state is that requirement for a good faith effort, and some of their suggestions have been that you select places like where women's groups meet, that you specifically target posting places when you're seeking out females pursuant to Iowa Code Section 69.16A, so that your target audience is addressed. And that would be a way for us to start showing the steps that we've taken in case we're unable to fill with a female applicant. Now, going forward, I know this is really poor timing because we're trying to fill our commissions. Going forward, my suggestion would be that we start advertising 3 months in advance from a vacancy, and that way we have that 90-day time frame met before we have to, you know, go about having commissions with vacant positions. Does anyone have any questions about the Condemnation Commission recommendation?
You're suggesting that we just hold all of these. Is that your recommendation?
Yeah, except for the females on the... There are females that have already been approved.
Right, that was my question.
Right. And
where we have slots to fill is my concern.
So well, yeah, exactly. What your agenda shows is that you would be putting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, only 7 females on the Condemnation Commission. And as you can tell, that's pretty disparate based on the number of female and males. So I would say whatever openings are on the Condemnation Commission should be held unless they're being filled by a female, and we should advertise for those open positions.
I think there is one, isn't it, right now?
It's a one-year term.
Right.
All of them. All of them.
So it's everyone.
Yeah,
okay.
This is every year. Yeah.
So then I think we should open the Condemnation Commission, and I think we need to publish for it. And that's going to... I don't know when they meet regularly.
They don't.
Oh, they meet as needed.
Okay, well, good. Then that gives us time. That's good.
They haven't met in probably 6 years.
Oh, well, then we have time on that, which is great, because that's really my major concern, is that we don't interrupt county business, and that doesn't sound like that's going to be a problem.
I mean, at some point, the district court needs a list of people that needs the list of the Condemnation Commission in the event that property is condemned, and they can't agree on a price, and that's what the Condemnation Commission does.
Yeah, then I would suggest at this point that we just open up all those vacancies and we request applications and we see what we get, and then we go forward from there.
Okay, but let's talk about that. Because I'm the guy that's had to call everybody over the past 2 years to try to get them to serve on this commission.
Sure.
And it's difficult at best.
I agree.
Convince people to serve on this commission in particular. The best thing that we've got going is that I can tell them that, well, you haven't met in 6 years, so hopefully we can make it 7. So once we advertise these positions, I'm a little skeptical of what kind of response we're going to get.
Sure.
So after that, I mean, are we down to the making phone calls to try to recruit people to serve on this?
Well, recruitment is not prohibited, but it's important that we get advertisements out community-wide, and you know, you can be recruiting people to submit applications this entire time. And you know, I agree, Paul. I think you're really pinpointing the reality that we all know exists, which is that it's hard. We don't have people banging down our doors to serve on these commissions, but we do have a requirement per the code to make these public and available, and to seek out a equal number of gender on our commissions. And and we have a 90-day requirement before we appoint an unequal number of males and females. So I recognize exactly what you're saying, and I think it's an important reality to the situation. What I would say is at this point we need to open this up, and if we don't get enough female interest, then we need to make our good faith effort for our 90 days, and then we'll be able to, you know, if we still don't have, after good faith effort, the interest to make an equal number of gender on the Condemnation Commission, then we would go ahead and approve the Condemnation Commission with an unequal amount. I'm heartened to hear that we don't have immediate business with the Condemnation Commission, because that, you know, that makes it very hard to implement. But I think this is probably the best case scenario. You know, it's probably the right time to get this done with this new law when we don't have anything pending before the Condemnation Commission.
Jessica, just for the record, I'd like to mention, prior to Paul taking over the last couple of years, one of the things that I did each year was that I looked at the category, and like if it was bankers or if it was licensed real estate or owners of property, I contacted people within that cadre of professions and asked specifically, could they recommend females applicants for me to contact? And I would assume Paul tried to do something very similar to that. So usually because within, say, if you're talking about a realtor, they would have pretty good idea of people who are very active within the association. And in previous years, we were able to get one or two individuals, and probably out of maybe eight or nine names, I may have gotten one that said, yes, we'll do it. But I think that's part of the challenge that we face in this one particular area. But I agree that having a systematic way, the way that the public is aware of how we're going about trying to do the outreach is probably what was lacking. In the past, it was just left up to whichever one of the supervisors that were making the person-to-person calls, and we didn't necessarily document that.
And it sounds like the board was ahead of its time because, again, you know, this law wasn't applied to local boards and commissions until recently. And so those efforts are all good things. But I think at this point with the applicability of this law that we need to be advertising, it's fine for everyone in the community to be seeking out people to submit applications. At this point, just calling and asking isn't enough to comply with the code. And so that's why we will revamp our current application process so that we're compliant. Anything else before I move on?
Pun intended, but I was just wondering, Margaret, don't you have one of those little horn-sounding horns that I could kind of put on my car as I drive around communities and just make kind of a public appeal? No, I certainly agree with you. I really think that what you're saying is obviously something that would enhance how we go about doing it. Sometimes the easiest way, as way things may appear, oftentimes goes awry when we haven't gone that extra mile. So I do think what you're suggesting that we do is the proper way for us to proceed. So I was just kidding about trying to use the voice message there. You know, we got to have a little humor in this day and age, too.
You say advertise. Does it need to be published in our legal publications or is it on the
No,
website?
And, per the code, there's not a specific notice requirement. Again, as you look at this law, it is pretty vague, but in some ways it's vague as far as notice, but in other ways it's not vague as far as we need to have an equal amount of males and females on our boards and commissions, and we need to wait 90 days if we don't have that and show good faith effort. So as far as notice, the state encourages creative thinking. I think our website is a good start. I think posting where, women's groups meet, getting the word out in whatever media we can, going that step to make sure that we're putting things out where we can, where women will be likely to see it, contacting people that we know to get the word out that are heads of organizations and those kinds of things. Those would be my suggestions on a practical basis as to how we can get the word out as a county. Okay, I'm going to move on to the Board of Adjustment. That is number 8-3 on the agenda. It's currently a 5-member panel, 3 male, 2 female. The gender balance on that board is compliant with the code. And based upon that, I would recommend the approval of Steve McGill so that that board can go ahead and carry on with county business since they are compliant with the gender requirement under Iowa Code Section 69.16A. Any questions on that one?
Let's go ahead and deal with that one before we move on. So if you have questions or a motion.
I would move approval of Steve McGill to be appointed to the Board of Adjustment for a 5-year term ending 12/31/17.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Steve McGill is appointed.
Let me ask the question before we move on. I was talking to Ted Tedesco last night, and he said that the city of Ames for years had similar challenges in trying to get people to serve on boards and commissions, and I think the council took action to reduce the terms sometimes when you tell a person that it's a five-year term, if they could reduce it down to 3 years, is there something in the code that would allow us to perhaps reduce the term of office? Because that may make a difference for some of the applicants that are seeking serving.
And that just means we have to do it more often.
Yeah. Well, I agree. But in some cases, that could be
the pool bigger.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's certainly something that we can look at, Wayne. You know, I'd want to look at each organization's rules that they have in place regarding their terms. So what are the current rules, and do those need to be amended before we would switch the term limits? So that's something I'd be happy to look into further on behalf of the board if you're interested in that.
Okay, thank you.
And now my final legal opinion is on item number 8-4 on the agenda, and that's the Board of Health. And that is a 5-member panel. Currently there are 4 male members and 1 female, so we need to get our gender equity numbers in line on that board. The current recommendation before the board is approval of 1 female, Glenda Dvorak, and that would keep the 1 female in place, just to clarify for the board, so that wouldn't be adding a female to the board. So that would keep the current number in place. I would suggest that the board approve Ms. Dvorak's being appointed to the Board of Health, and that they, instead of filling the slot with the male candidate, as has been suggested, that they would go ahead and open up that position community-wide. And again, by the practical things that we've discussed here and anything else that you can think of. And again, it doesn't mean you have to, at this point, just have the position, you know, everyone applies for 90 days. You can make a date certain that you have applications, which are already available on our website, be submitted. I think we should mention there that we're looking for female candidates. That's our code requirement, and that's what we're doing. And then we'll see which, you know, what we get in. If we have some qualified applicants, we can go ahead and fill that with a female position. If we're not, then we're to our 90-day time frame where we need to keep making good faith efforts. So that is my advice regarding the Board of Health as well. And I just wanted to echo the state's position of appreciation to the board for taking this code section seriously and for investing council's time in this. And I think anyone that works with the board understands that you all do a fantastic job, and I appreciate that as your counsel. Thank you.
Question to Margaret, since she's here, and also Paul, the liaison or the chair of that group. Would this create a quorum issue if we only appointed one at this time for your meetings?
Well, my problem is that Mr. Speck is a long-serving member of the Board of Health, long before this law was ever passed. And so now I have to tell Mr. Speck that his service is no longer required on this board.
Well,
I can't fill that position.
You know, Paul, I think that no one questions Mr. Speck's qualifications at all, and I would suggest that Mr. Speck keep a application on file with the county for the next time that we have a vacant position open and available. But, you know, appointing him is going to make us not be compliant with this code section. And there's no legal way to just continue appointments of the qualified people without opening it back up to this objective application process. And so I absolutely hear what you're saying, but I think that it's great to keep really qualified people on these commissions, but we just have to make sure that they're going through the application process like everyone else.
Microphone. Margaret, you're welcome to speak, but to the microphone.
One possible way to resolve that is to have Paul step down and just be a liaison, similar to the board, the conservation board, and continue to have Mark Speck.
I'm currently the chair of the Board of Health, and it's one of those things where it's in the past the Board of Supervisors has had a member serve on the Board of Health, and I found out 2 years ago that it's always been the board member who has served as the chair of the Board of Health also. So, but that's the position I'm in, as the chair of the Board of Health. So, I mean, I'm not married to being on the Board of Health, but it's my understanding with my conversation with board members and with Margaret that it does help out quite a bit.
It does, right, and it does help a lot having somebody, you know, connected with the county regulations, Board of Supervisors, and Board of Health. But you could still function in that role as a liaison. Is that the correct term?
Yeah.
A liaison.
Yeah, you're a non-voting member is what it basically is. You're a member of the board, but you're a non-voting member, so you're there in all other capacities except you take no official action as far as a vote.
Okay. The biggest problem then, Paul, would be maybe signatures and SharePoint things, and that might be a big hurdle. That might not be worth this trade-off.
And let me raise another thought. He could still serve, but my question, could he serve as the chair of that board, but he would be a non-voting chair? You know, something to think about. See, because in some boards and commissions, the chair only votes in the event of a tie. But in this case, I would think my role on the conservation board is that I really only comment if it's something that would give some insight in terms of the county's position or role and so forth. So I really don't take an active role in much of the discussion, except once in a while I will maybe comment on a question. So it's been an adjustment for me, but I think it's working quite well, and it probably could work the same as far as the Board of Health is concerned, and it might be worth considering it, and I don't know if you or your board want to talk about that or not.
Chapter 137 requires there to be 5 members on that board, so I don't know if it could really work that way.
That's right.
I wouldn't suggest that.
Right. Okay. Just thought I'd throw it out.
Sure. Are there any further questions for me regarding this law? Okay.
Boris, I see you moving. Do you want to say something to the board? Please do.
I want to thank you for paying such close attention and such immediate reaction to my inquiry about what is happening with appointments. And I understand that this is a change, and change is difficult. I know that this was a law that, when it was debated in 2010, was not uniformly supported down in the legislature. I know that a former chair of this board, who no longer sits, was very outspoken against the law. So I am encouraging you, as you do your outreach and you make your good faith efforts, to think broadly, as Jessica obviously advised you, and just some of the resources that might be available to you off the top of my head. Because of what I do, I have this huge list of emails of organizations, and I think that I'd be happy to share it with the county. I bet the Tribune staff would be happy to share with the county. They probably have a similar list for contact. Maybe just looking at how difference in how you approach people rather than calling someone to ask for a recommendation for, like, a real estate person. How about just going through the Board of Realtors and calling females? I just want to really encourage you that even though it's clear at least one of you is not very happy about this, it's the law. I think it's the best for the county, and I think you're going to get good, positive participation, and it's going to be worth it in the long run. So thank you once again for such a immediate response to my inquiry.
Thank you, Loris.
Loris, for the record, let me just comment. I didn't get any of us that weren't happy with the process.
I apologize, and I thought maybe.
Okay, I mean,
I'm very happy that I have to tell Mr. Speck
that's
that
he's
not going to be able to serve on the Board of Health any longer.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, our as I recall, our request, Jessica, on the second was to take a look at the way we're doing things and make sure we're doing things appropriately. I believe that is the desire and intent of this board, and that's what we'll continue to do. So with that, we have a recommendation from our civil attorney to go ahead and approve Ms. Dvorak.
I would move approval of Glenda Dvorak to be appointed to the Board of Health for a 3-year term.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Ms. Dvorak is appointed. Now, with that, we still have the Condemnation Commission sitting out. Paul, I would ask if you would work with Wayne Schrickerath and Shelley to do what we need to do to try to get that one resolved. And then we have a position on the Board of Health. I believe that's all we held, isn't it?
We also held up the appointment to the Conservation Board.
That's not on today's agenda, though.
It wasn't on today's agenda.
On today's agenda, those were the two areas that we held. What I heard Jessica say was we do not necessarily have to put a deadline of 90 days on what we're doing if we can find a qualified female in the meantime. But let's just work through how we're going to go about doing this. And then we know if we don't have any success in the next 90 days, we're going to come back and appoint somebody who's qualified to be on those boards and commissions. That's the appropriate way to proceed, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll lump that in, and we'll be seeking
that.
And as I understand it, we're doing the same thing with planning and zoning. Accurate. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we have no agents.
Margaret's got a question.
Oh, sure.
Do you have to vote whether or not you approve the appointment of Mark Speck?
If we don't approve it, it's not approved.
Okay.
So no action is there's no approval.
No action.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. No agency reports today. That leads us to, you might as well have just stayed up there, Margaret. That leads us to departmental reports and Margaret. Good morning again.
Morning again.
I'm really glad you're so excited about environmental health to invite me up to talk today.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Start off with septic numbers. As you know, we're the permitting agency or permitting department for septic systems. For the total for 2012, we did 67, which is up from the previous years, as the lower part of that table shows. I think it's a good sign the economy might be rebounding some. A breakdown of those 67 permits, 23 new houses, and that's according to planning and development numbers, 23 new houses. I also had one church, that was the Plex, north of Ames, 14 workshops or man caves, if you want to call them that, and 29 replacements. The replacements are sort of indicative of time of transfers, when they need to replace the system when they sell it, and then also possibly indication that the system's going in the 1970s are starting to go south on us. In addition to those 67 permits, there were also 14 permits to do repairs. That's like tank replacements. For well numbers, we do this by the fiscal year because of our grant program. We've had 12 permits for the first half of the year, three of them being water and nine geothermal. And then we did 9 well pluggings, 0 cisterns, 0 well rehabs, and 62 water tests. The well inspections, there's 23 of them, and those are time of transfer inspections. One thing to note is our grants to counties, we received $23,000 this year, and we still have approximately $15,000 remaining in the budget for plugging, rehab, testing, and then also we can kick some of that into the education program to cover our CEU requirements. For our lead inspection, I have 9 open cases, 2 where children are still residing, the rest of them, for the most part, are vacant. One case I have turned over to legal, and Jessica and I are going to discuss that today. We've been working on the codification project for the county. You can see that we've gone from 2 chapters to 8 chapters. There's not more regulation, just clarification and ease of finding what you're looking for in those regulations.
I'm excited about having that done, by the way, Jessica. Pointed more toward you, but
yeah.
I'm excited about getting the codification done.
I am, too. It's been really kind of mixed up, and this is great. I'm really excited about it, too. Mm-hmm.
Here I just threw out a bunch of complaints that we've received, no special order. Bed bugs are here in Story County, I'll just put it that way. We've also had some complaints on sewage discharges. We've had Crestview complaints, sewage, trash, water. We get lots of complaints on the Crestview trailer park. Let's see, we've had complaints on the E-Freeplex when the mound was going in. Those have pretty much stopped for now. We also received complaints about the traffic up there, and I believe planning and development and the engineering office has handled that.
Margaret, where did bed bugs go for 20 years? I mean, for 20, 25 years, you never heard of bed bugs.
I think it was DDT originally, kept them at bay for a long time, and then also now travel is so prevalent. I think that's the answer. People are puzzled, but yeah. DDT. What else? Oh, and then Cambridge, you know, they've been so quiet for so long, and now we're starting to get complaints on those apartments again. Which is not a good thing. It's that old school building that they converted over. So that's starting to rear its head again, unfortunately. Oh, one thing I wanted to add to this, too, is recently our department developed a complaint form. Kathy and Kristen worked on that, and that's on our webpage now for nuisances. And on that form, we listed all of the city's phone numbers, so that they call if you're within an incorporated area, you call the city first and try to get help from the city before turning to the county for assistance. Training, Kathy and I both went to the IEHA, Iowa Environmental Health Association conference, flood mitigation. We all attended the EOC that Keith Morgan put on, down emergency management. And then Matt has also been doing a lot of online training. This is a subject that I brought up to the Board of Health at the December meeting. And the reason I'm bringing it before the Board of Supervisors today is because training is offered before we have to make a decision or sign a contract. So I just wanted to get your feedback on this. So currently the IDPH tanning, tattoo, and pool contract is handled by the Greenbelt Home Care of Hardin County. It's a 3-year contract, and it expires the end of this fiscal year. And I am interested in pursuing that contract, and it would be for another 3 years. It would require training of all three of our staff, and then we would have to maintain 12 CEUs annually. The county collects the money, and we also have to do the enforcement actions. There's a 1-year, there's an annual required, and then also a for-cause inspection. We report to the Iowa Department of Public Health. And then, as I said, the training is available in March of this year.
Margaret, do you and your staff have time to do those annual inspections and the work that we would require on this, or are we talking about additional staff?
We have the time to do it, we believe. We will try it for 3 years. If it overwhelms us, then we will drop the contract.
Okay, and how does the cost of training and cost of implementation of the program compare to the dollars that the county would collect?
Mm-hmm. My next slide here. I don't have an estimate on what it would cost at this point, but the money that would come in is summarized here. It would be around $15,000 income, and let's see, the tanning beds, I believe we can adjust that cost. Tattoo we cannot, and pools we cannot. But so currently, we have 46 pools. So we're talking public and private. So hotels and apartments with pools, City of Ames, things like that. Tattoo parlors, 5 within Ames. Tanning beds, 20 facilities. So potential revenue then is around $15,000. It would not cost that much to run this program because we are already out in the field, so we would sort of combine trips with septic and inspections of these types of facilities. Training would probably cost maybe $200 per person, $246. So it would be a little extra gas, training, and then equipment, which I don't know, probably chemicals and goggles.
Sure. Well, and the man hours.
Man hours, yes.
Person
but that's
hours
already
doing it. But, okay.
Built in.
And you said the training's available in March.
Yes.
When does a decision have to be made? And is it the Board of Health making the decision, or is it us making the decision?
I think it would be the Board of Health.
Board of Health. And we will be meeting, February. Yeah.
Well, we did. We talked about it last meeting, but I don't think you had any of the dollar figures last meeting.
Well, I had this same slide I did. So we were going to get some information together on what equipment we would need, training, things like that. Training is probably going to be in Des Moines, or they send somebody up here. So it's not like flying somewhere. It's not an expensive training. Quite frankly, the Greene County, I assume, is doing a fine job. I haven't heard otherwise. The problem is it's totally off our radar. It's not on our website. We don't hear, we just get sort of the general tanning report and the pool report. Well, we don't get a pool report. We get the tanning report from the state, and we're just not on top of whether the program is good or bad or indifferent. And I feel like we, at very least, need to get tuned into that a little bit better, get it pulled in our website, and just see what's going on out there with these programs. If you don't want our department to pursue this, I guess now would be the time to speak up so that I can tell that to the Board of Health.
I don't have any issue with it.
I think it's probably a good idea. I mean, this is one more example. I mean, 90%+ of this business is going to be in the city of Ames.
Yes.
Active Board of Health. We've had those discussions with the city, so I think it's probably the right step to take.
Okay, great. Yep. And if it's killing us, we'll drop it in 3 years. We've started on our scanning project, yay! And this is a ton of work. We started December 2012. We have what we're doing now. The three of us are actually the four of us. Kristen's also helping with this. We're reviewing all the files so that the files are really skinnied down before it goes through the scanning process. And this will really help in the long run, getting those files really cleaned out perfectly and scanning them instead of scanning everything and getting it done that way. We have Tim Shuck currently. He is a temporary full-time scanner coordinator, and he scans directly to the department's G drive, which is really easy access for everybody in our department. And our project is anticipated to be completed by October 31st, give or take. And that's partly because of employment issues. And then miscellany, I've had a couple instances where the 200 feet to the municipal sewer line has come up. In Huxley, we finally accommodated somebody enough so that they could hook up to the city sewer line in Huxley. We were glad about that. Whereas in the city of Ames, there's a property right smack dab in the middle of Ames, and they are outside of the 200 feet, and we are arranging and permitting a septic system there. But we really do try to get everybody hooked on to city sewer if we can. That's the preferred route. We also attended the Kmart health fair, poorly attended, but we were there for 2 days. I finished the Boone County contract. We received $5,540 for our services over there. Maybe Barb might be knocking on my door for that extra $5,000. I don't know if I want to share that. But and we did receive the old sheriff's vehicle, or the sheriff's old vehicle, former vehicle. I don't know how to say that. And it's going really well, with the exception of they took the antennas off. They forgot to plug the holes. And so Matt got in one time, and it was raining in on him through the hole in the roof. But we did get that fixed, and it's been a great vehicle. It's a gas guzzler, but it's so far so good. And then just this morning, I got a call from the Ames Assistant City Attorney, Kristen Stone, and she said that it is on the council's agenda to dissolve the Board of Health. And she wanted to know if it was acceptable for the county, my department, to take on septic systems and things like that within the city of Ames. And I said that it would be. It's a very low occurrence that that happens. It just happens to be that I am working on one within the city of Ames right now. But for the most part, the septics aren't a lot of work. Lead, we already do the lead inspections within the city of Ames. So I think this just makes jurisdiction for our department way more clear. And then coming up in the next quarter, emergency management plan write-up with Steve and Melissa, where we're going to continue working on the scanning project, Family Farm Expo Environmental Health Booth, that's this week, budget workshop this month, staff evaluations this month, the IOWWA, that's Septic Systems Conference, that's this week. And then I am coordinating with Iowa to have a Coyotes class and exam so that our contractors can be certified.
You're almost as good as planning and development with the acronym.
I'm sorry, yes.
If you bring in some visual aids, she'd have Quaker Beat, she'd be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could rapidly advance to the top.
Keep that in mind.
Is that a compliment or?
Oh yeah,
not?
Absolutely.
That's it.
Thank you very much. Questions for Margaret? Margaret, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Margaret.
All right, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates pass from me, Wayne.
Just very briefly, I had a short meeting this morning with Gayla. Primary, we were just kind of discussing the wrap-up of her tenure here with the service, with the county, in preparation for her final celebration at the end of this month, and just kind of wanted to just keep me abreast with a couple things that she's doing because of our. Way that community services, the inspection and appeals, and the CARP folks need to be notified of who the possible interim director would be prior to actually leaving. And so she has just kind of followed that information, assuming that Ron may step into that, even though it hasn't been officially done, but so that they can make sure that all the necessary paperwork is there. By code, they have to have someone in place, and she just wanted to make sure that we were aware of that, and I told her we were, and so we basically just had an overall conversation in terms of future challenges and directions for our community life program and things of that nature.
Good. Outstanding. Thanks, Wayne. Paul?
I'll pass.
All righty. Other reports. Update on the Soil and Water Conservation District and request for funding. How are you guys today?
Good. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Mark Chalmland. I farm in northern Story County. And I'm the newly elected chair of the Soil and Water Conservation District.
And I'm Rick Plush. I'm retiring as commissioner and chair of the Story County Soil and Water District. However, they appointed me as an assistant commissioner, which is allowable under the code. And I will continue to represent the Soil and Water District on the board of directors of the Prairie Rivers RC&D and also the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority.
Outstanding. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Well, yes, thanks for having us on the agenda, and we want to express our gratitude for receiving funding for the last several years of $5,000 per year. And we've used that money to promote and to apply conservation services within the county. And I have an accounting of how that money was used, and I'll pass that on in a little bit. Much of the work And the last year regarding your funding has gone for Hickory Grove Lake for water testing of the lake. And as commissioners, we feel that that's a very cost-effective use of that funding, and that the economic consequences of the tourism going to the lake are pretty strong for the county and well-proven. So we're here today to request an additional $5,000 for the next fiscal year.
Additional or?
Continuation.
Continuation,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have other documents, too, I'd like to submit. And one is a work plan that we as the board have, and I'll pass that on. And then we also have our 2012 annual report that I would like to submit.
Well, Mark, currently we are in the process of starting our budget work sessions tomorrow. It would certainly be our intent, if at all possible, is to be able to at least fund programs that we've funded in the past. However, no final decision has been made, but we will certainly do recognize the role of what the Soil and Water Districts have done and the value of how you utilize those funds. So I'm hopeful that it will be a positive outcome, and we can certainly have that continued. But
well, I think Wayne's 100% right, and I would encourage you to leave here today with every confidence that we'll be able to continue the funding of $5,000. And like Wayne says, it's not final till it's final, and we do have some cuts we need to make. But my expectation would be that this one would be able to remain as it is. So I think that's about all the assurance that I can give at this point. But
well, I might add a little perspective on this. I served on the Soil and Water District as a commissioner for 12 years. And during that time, we have lost funding both from the state and the federal sources continually. We're down now to sharing our state secretary with Marshall County. We're sharing a district conservationist, the federal side, with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, with Marshall County. We're sharing the soil technician. We're down to one full-time employee in our office. And we're at 1994 levels for state funding in the state. Soil and water seems to not be very high on the priority list of the state legislature. And if you can use your influence to change that, that would be very welcome, because I see the coming problems being exacerbated with more and more land going into production, conservation practices essentially going out of sight. The state has just recently drafted a nutrient reduction strategy that was required by EPA to reduce the nutrients going down the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico. And it doesn't look like there will be any additional funding for that strategy. It will just simply be continuing as we have been in the past, and I doubt whether we can accomplish what they're proposing. So it's really kind of a sad situation, and I think we need some real overhauls in soil and water conservation in the state, but it doesn't look like that's going to come very soon.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yes, thank you.
All right, public forum number two, comments. This is a portion, comments from the public on items that are not on today's agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Is anybody who would like to address the board? Seeing no one, immediately moving to the microphone. Announcements from the supervisors.
Pass.
Quick announcement. The Iowa Association of County Supervisors Affiliate can announce that William Bill Heckroff, former state senator out of Waverly, Iowa, will be the new legislative affairs consultant to the supervisors. We've been in last Thursday. We interviewed four candidates, and Bill rose to the top. He has verbally accepted the position. We're working out the final contract. Hopefully he'll have that signed by the end of this week or the first of next week. But he's eager and ready to start work on the 14th when the open legislative session begins. And so we're really excited to have him on board at the present time.
Stan, well, Wayne, I'd like to take a moment and thank you for your leadership of our affiliate and your work along with the rest of the board members in getting that position filled. I know we've had a really high-quality individual in that position the last few years, and it sounds like you guys have identified another one and appreciate your work on it. All right, hearing nothing else, I'd like a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
All right.
Thanks, guys.